Always fun.
Crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
And it's been 2 days in the making. Patrick, Saturday, yes. I saw you tweeting, clearly unchained.
Oh, yeah. So, I was clearly unchained about this team, who they've won two run games since.
Yeah,
but
so.
I was watching them, and they just, yesterday, that 2-1 victory yesterday, I watched quite a bit, irritated me more than any game all year, because it should have been 12-1. They kept, they avoid scoring in close games better than any team I've ever seen. It was damn near impossible not to score. And they managed to keep avoiding it till the point that they have to have Rodgers trying to get out a man on second.
Yeah.
Nobody out in the ninth inning when you should have had Astudillo closing. It should have been like 14-2. They had all these opportunities. They're just unbelievable. And Saturday, they were irritated. I finally tweeted out. I really do. I hate this team. I hate them. Because not as individuals, I don't even know them that well because of Zoom. You know, half of them, we don't even know who they are. But I just, everything about them, I just, you know, you get hurt, you'll be in a back in a week, and you're gone for 6 weeks, right? I mean, you know, everybody, oh, we got a Louis Arraez. He gets hurt, plays the next inning, hasn't seen, you know, now he's out for 3 months. He might have to have his, he might never play again. It's unbelievable. They just, it's, you know, they don't give a damn. Nobody says, keep me in there, coach. We got to win this game today. You know,
are they allowed to? I mean,
probably not.
Rocco might.
I just hate everything about them. I just hate them. I just, you know, they got some decent guys. I know some of their guys, but I just, you know, Hansel Robles is now your either him or Rodgers at the end, right?
Yeah.
What did he do?
Nothing.
To deserve this? Because he's going to either walk. I think I saw a note in Kenny Chaz, our new beat writer, Kenny Chaz, Twins
Good
game.
Good to see Kenny.
Ken, that's 4 of the last 5 games. He's given up a leadoff double.
Yeah, Saturday. He damn near gave up the game-tying home run to lead off tonight.
If they hadn't done some of the goofiest base running in history, they ended up getting two outs.
Yes.
And then, I'll say one thing. That Simmons is, he's driving you crazy, too. But that ball that was hit to him for the game-ending double play.
Yep.
You could have had your glove torn off with that thing. That thing, and he went whoop like that. Uh-huh. You know, I can see a lot of shortstops not, you know, letting that ball,
which is what Robles deserved.
Yeah, letting that
ball should have gone through.
But the guy at I think it was Dyson at third base, right?
Yes. Yeah, he just said
he was out in third of a second because Simmons, you know, whoop. But so they win that one on a miracle, and then yesterday. They, you know, Rodgers does really well, but God, I hate them. They just, they don't field. They're starting, I mean, Matt Shoemaker, God almighty, he goes a third of an inning. He gives up 9 runs. Ah, he's still in a rotation.
No.
He's still,
I don't.
Why? His last good year was 2015. You know, we were all younger. I wasn't even taking my pension yet. I wasn't taking full Social Security benefits yet. For God's sakes, when he pitched good, I hate him. I hate the way they're.
Did you see his excuse Friday night?
I had an excuse now.
Sweating a lot.
He is unbelievable. He's the excuse maker of all time.
I told you, he's Dubnyk. He's the new Dubnyk.
Yeah. No.
It's the same thing.
Dubnyk was never that bad.
Well, he wasn't that bad,
Dubnyk
but he always
never
had the excuses.
Gave up 6 in the first period and said, boy, I was pretty good. I didn't give him, you know. He thought he was. You know who ties him now? The gal who choked in the golf yesterday.
Oh, I saw
Lexi Thompson.
Yeah, I saw your tweet about it.
I didn't care if she won or lost. I was just watching her play like a mutt down the stretch. But then I found out she played golf with Trump. So in reverse, I'm now rooting against her. I was rooting against her, and I'm glad she choked. But she choked. But she's quoted as saying, somebody got one quote from her, I really don't think I hit a bad shot. Well, she said 41 on the back, but on one of the holes, she had a little chip shot about 30 yards to the green and hit it 15 yards. That's not a bad shot. Young lady, that's not a bad shot. You got that's me. That's a me shot. She decelerated and hit this little 15 yarder.
Yeah.
And of course, I think we're still at the stage in our coverage of sports that we can't savage a woman golfer like we would did Greg Norman, right? When he choked similarly.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay to say a man is a choking dog and letting a championship get away. But who's ever doing the play-by-play yesterday on the golf? I don't know who was doing it. I've heard him a lot before.
Dan Hicks?
It wasn't Hicks. No, okay. It was somebody else. But basically, I think Morgan Pressley, or Pressel, is the commentator. And he said, do we have to conclude there's... He said something like, do we have to conclude the moment was too big for Lexi? And the moment she was, you could see she was offended. You could hear she was offended. And then he kind of backed off and, you know, said, well, you know, he kind of backed off because she was not going to say that about one of her former colleagues, you know, one of the people she played. They weren't, you know, we're not at the point yet we can tell the truth.
Oh, no, hell no.
No. I mean, we can...
No.
You know, it's not like we used to have to coddle the women and our women's coverage completely. We can cover them in a more professional manner now.
Yeah.
But you still can't rip them. And it's probably changed now in the last two years, too.
I don't think we're ripping men as much now, Pat.
The Me Too movement has probably had a lot to do with...
But I think we're backing off of men as well now, too, more.
Oh, hell yes.
Than
yes.
We used to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're not, you know, everybody's a little paranoid right now about everything as far as criticism. But it is funny. The country has never been more vicious...
Right,
in criticism.
Yes.
I mean, politically, it's incredible.
Yes.
You know, it's unbelievable. Everybody on the other side is evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have TV networks dedicated to making people evil, right?
Right.
Either side of the aisle.
Right.
And, you know, the only one that really is evil is Trump. But anyway, that's just my opinion. But you know, but in sports, all of a sudden, we're supposed to be kinder.
And mental health is a big deal now.
Well, she just made it then, Osaka,
yeah, right.
I think. She just made it.
But, I mean, we're talking
way.
About a lot more in sports across the board. Yeah, so you're right. The what's the right word? Irony of this is not lost on people.
Mm-hmm.
Or it shouldn't be lost on people.
Well, here's the deal. Sports writing has always, we have always kissed up to the home teams 80% of the time. Right?
Yes.
We'll figure out some way to twist it so that the home team isn't terrible,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But 80% of the time, sometimes we just savage them, right?
Yep.
But we always have gone to games looking for, if we're going to write about it, the key moment. And sometimes you succeed grandly in the key moment. And sometimes you screw up,
mm-hmm.
and we always try to get the answer either way.
Yes.
You know, Lonnie Smith retreating to second base and blowing the World Series. That's, you know, there's Jack Morris, topic A, topic B. Lonnie, what the bleep were you thinking of? But Lonnie, of course, hid.
Mm-hmm.
So 30 years later, Lonnie, to all of us who covered that World Series, is still a hider and not a stand-up guy, right?
Right.
So I think that you get a lot of people now, more than 30 years ago, saying, well, why should they have to tell you about their mistakes? Because then why should we have to tell you about their non-mistakes? You know,
right.
Why should their triumphs? If you can't Sports is about triumph and tragedy. And we got it. You know, if you're covering a bit, when you cover that Masters in 96,
yep.
Norman, trying to win his first, shooting 78, is a bigger story than Nick Faldo shooting 67. You got to cover
yes.
Greg Norman because of his history.
Yes.
You know, if Greg Norman was a so-so player who...
you wouldn't care as much.
Who let it go, but Greg Norman had the history, and this was going to be his win, and he was flashing around the golf course in the sunlight on Saturday, and everything was a celebration, and then he goes out and shoots 78 because he doesn't have it in the stomach, you know, or behind the left nipple.
Which is a hell of a story.
Yes, and that's, you know, so, and Greg Norman, to his credit, came in and answered questions for 45 minutes, but... which kind of diffused it to some extent. But I guess I argue with people now. We've changed our view of sports. We want homers, and we wanted a lot of people want homers, probably more than not. And they want, you know, to have a failure kind of covered as a, and, you know, one reason the Twins lost, by the way, is that, Matt Shoemaker gave up 9 runs. You know. Meanwhile, Matt Shoemaker gave up 9 runs in the first. You know, so
I don't get it.
No,
but
I don't either.
Here's what I really don't get, and I wish somebody could explain this to me. And this goes back to the old thing about college athletes in Division I. I've always said, if you're on TV, or you are making a lot of money for somebody, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not our fault they're not getting paid.
And you screw up. I want to know why.
Yes.
If you wanna play for love of the game and not get paid or have me not care, go play Division III.
Yes.
That's awesome. But that's what I don't get. So we are now, if I'm getting this straight, we are supposed to back off of people who are potentially making hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million.
No, if you're on it, you're getting paid. You're getting a scholarship. You're
right, but I'm just saying.
Open
but I'm saying, like in tennis now, or with the with this golfer. You stand to make a lot of money, and you are on NBC, which leads me to believe that you should be able to be asked tough questions, because if you failed, it matters.
Yeah, and she hadn't failed. She just, I mean, and she, you know, I'm not Osaka. Okay. She at least has to notify them ahead of time that she feels like she's having emotional problems and she's not going to be able to, maybe she can do Zoom or something. You know, some accommodation could have been made, but she decided to send it out on Twitter, didn't give any explanation as to why not.
Correct.
And then put the tennis associations in a terrible spot, right?
Right.
If she'd talked to them beforehand, but she's 20 years old, it's probably not
right.
very mature.
But if you don't want the pressure, if you don't want that, if you flat out just love to play your sport and you don't want to answer questions and you don't care how much you make, there's a lot of avenues to go play your sport.
Yeah, but I mean, we've had enough people in baseball that didn't talk. And
yeah,
that's, you know, that I wouldn't have any problem with her not doing it if she presented her information in advance and didn't come up with it on the run.
And I'm not saying just her. I'm saying this is getting to be the thing across the board now. You shouldn't ask the questions. You should back off.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's
my point across the board, not just one athlete.
I wrote a piece about that. You shouldn't ask the questions. You shouldn't expect answers to the questions. Like one thing when I wrote last week about that, you know, when I watched that Twins opening game, I wanted, you know, you're not going to get him in the Zoom era, but I would, if I was covering that game, I would have been in the clubhouse waiting at Alex Colomé's locker saying, what the hell are you doing? Why did you do that? You know, I wouldn't have been that blunt, would have sugarcoated it, but I would have tried to get the answer of why he threw to second base and screwed up the game when they had it won.
Right.
You know, because that was the key moment. You know what that was? That was the key moment of this season. It set the stage for
absolutely.
A bunch of stumbling, bumbling, Abbott Costello, Bowery Boys, clowns.
But the next, so the next pitcher that can't throw a strike, Steve Blass, right?
Yeah.
Or Steve Sachs.
We're not supposed to ask.
Are we not supposed to ask about you? You
Nobby,
can no longer throw the ball.
Nobby, you used to be a Gold Glove second baseman. Now you can't throw it to first. What the hell happened?
which sounds stupid to bring that up, but I could see somebody saying, well, you shouldn't ask.
No, you shouldn't ask because he's having an emotional problem, yes. A mental problem.
Like, is that where we're going here?
No, I can say, you know, if he doesn't want to answer, that's fine, but we got to ask. That's
I know, but are you going to be looked at sideways for even asking
that's
a question
that
the media used to just ask all the time?
Yes, yes.
Hey, Steve Bless, what happened?
This kind of started with the Players' Tribune, right? The Players' Tribune getting out. We're getting out our own message here. We don't want it filtered through reporters who are actually going to tell the truth. We want it twisted for you, you know? So Lexi Thompson can go on the Players' Tribune and write, I never hit a bad shot. And people can say, okay, she never hit a bad shot. Unless you watched and saw her play like a... mutt, you know.
Matt Shoemaker had a sweaty hand. I mean, think about that.
God almighty. I think, I got to look up his stuff. One of the great excuse makers of all time. I got to look up his
stuff. It's worth a column now.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
Oh,
Yeah. When are we going to get Matt? Come on out. Everybody gets a free home run ball. Come on. Jeez. I saw that. I was expecting him to rip himself. You know,
no, he
gave up nine. Yeah. Hey, I think if I get him on Zoom Tuesday, I'm going to have to. Hey, Rocker, this guy gets one out, gives up nine runs and tells us it was because he was sweating. What the hell? You think, are you going to have to pitch him in the winter?
Well, Matt has had some tough luck, Pat.
Yeah.
It's just been a tough season for him.
Yes.
Rocco, in fact, Rocco did at least.
I took a little shot at it.
At least he started to take some shots now.
Yeah, he is.
It's about time.
It is, yeah.
The drop fly ball Thursday, he took some shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for him, he ripped them.
Yes, yes. What's with that? You get this kid for one reason. Because he's a good fielding center fielder. You can't drop that ball and then throw it like a moron.
Well, that's what offended me more was the throw.
Yes.
The drop was dumb. The throw was lazy.
Oh, God.
He just heaved it in.
Yeah. This team, these are not the Yankees that we were expecting, by the way, but they should still run three here, I would think. They get the play. Who do they get? So Tuesday they got who?
Cole.
Pineda.
Pineda Cole. Which
so
could be great fun.
They can't win that game unless Cole's thrown out for cheating. Two guys cheating. And then after that, you got Randy Dobnik, who has no chance against the Yankees.
We always love to see the Dobber against the Yankees, okay?
Yeah, that worked out well last time. And then J.A. Happ, who, you know, I guess he hasn't been. The other day, he gave up, what, four or five right off the bat?
The shoe makes him look good, but he's still not done.
Yeah. I can't believe Shoemaker's still here. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. It is incredible.
Although Tuesday could be great fun, because in Donaldson's Zoom call, when he started to talk about guys cheating more, he brought up Garrett Cole.
Oh, yeah.
He used him as an example, but that wasn't a mistake.
Yeah, he did.
So
yeah.
Josh might be eating dirt the first time he steps in.
Which, of course, as aware as the umpires are of that kind of stuff right now, they might. Yeah, he did. That's right.
He named Garrett Cole.
He named him. Yeah.
And talked about his spin rate.
Spin rate, yeah. Yeah. That was funny because he wouldn't talk about it at first, and then he's apparently a 48 hours later guy. That was the same thing with kicking dirt on a home plate last year. He didn't talk for 2 days, and then when he did, he was okay.
Yeah.
And when he did, he said he was going to reveal all the flaws of, what was that umpire's name? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
The guy that threw him.
Plate umpire who tossed him.
Yeah,
but I guess he did say he's talked to the league about his accusation. So.
Yeah.
For the doctor
of
the
baseball. I saw a story that they're apparently, this is, you know, Joe West, as goofy as he is, just by doing that, got the conversation started. And apparently it's unbelievable what
these
guys
are
doing.
Did you read the DSI piece?
Not yet.
Oh, it's worth reading.
They're tearing the seams off. They're putting such crap on there, and they're spinning it so hard, they're tearing the seams off balls.
There was one team that got its hands on a ball that the opposing pitcher had handled, and I guess they could put it in their palms and it would stick to their palms.
Mm-hmm.
Like palming a basketball, but you just opened your hand and it stuck.
Somebody told me what was one of the hitters said to the umpire, ball went, you know, it did something that's not humanly possible. And he turned to the umpire and said, Did you see that? He said, I'm here to call balls and strikes.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. And in other words, they're not gonna dive into it. What? Donaldson's theory is you gotta search everybody when they enter the game.
Yes.
And then
airport security.
And then when he comes back out for the new inning,
yes.
If the starter comes back out for the second, you're going to search him again? This is going to take the games quite a long time.
It already takes
All right. Get some prison guys out there. Okay, drop your drawers. Yep. Let's see what's going on.
Empty your pockets.
Yeah, right. This is Ricey for EcoFun Motorsports. The preseason sale on all bikes, scooters, and ATVs is going on right now in Forest Lake. Beat the spring rush. And EcoFun will give you the free storage with your purchase until the weather is a bit more bike-friendly. If you enjoy bike rides on a summer day, but maybe your knees aren't what they used to be, then I recommend that you talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will personally help you select the e-bike that is right for you. They will even deliver to your front door in the metro area. Take advantage of the preseason sale prices right now. Bentelli bikes and Yamaha Power Assist bikes are at their lowest price of the year. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Take a test ride and put biking back on your list of favorite outdoor activities. They also carry a full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com. That's E-C-O-F-U-N Motorsports.com. And tell Tim you heard it on Ricey Unchained. It's believable because, both Verlander and Cole, when they went to Houston, mm-hmm. It was garbage. Didn't have garbage cans or anything. But somebody, Hammer, the producer for the Twins game, I was in talking to Gladden and Corey an hour before the game, and they got a TV screen in there that's a computer screen. Basically, they do Rocco off that and stuff.
Yep.
And he showed the spin rates on those guys as soon as they got to Houston. They were like. Both Verlander and Cole.
Oh, okay.
And so they must have had some magic. Well, then there's the guy from Houston, the Anaheim that got fired. The visiting clubby.
Yep.
The visiting clubby got fired.
He was Cole's buddy, I guess.
He had a special solution, and he sued the Angels. And one of the things in the court document was a text from Cole basically saying, hey, Bubba, or whatever, I need some of that secret solution of yours, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, this
is going to get dicey.
It could be a wild Tuesday if they see something they don't like in the first inning and Rocco says, go check them.
Well, I could see Cole throwing at Donaldson real quick too, just for bringing him up as the sole guy that he
brought
up.
And if that happens, Donaldson's going out there.
Oh, he'll charge the mound instantly.
He's going out there with a bat.
You know what we need? Something like that.
Yeah, they do. They need something like that.
To quote you, this bore-ass team needs something like that.
Yeah, they do. And all the heat we gave him and he's never going to play again. He's been their Iron Man, basically. Yeah. Donaldson, since he came back from when he got hurt on the second pitch of the season, you weren't real optimistic, but he's played, so he's been a little better lately. He was terrible at the plate for a long time.
What, hit two home runs on, was that Thursday night?
So did you see the home run Miggy hit?
Yeah.
Did you see the pitch?
No, I didn't really.
It went up.
I saw the home run, but I was watching something else.
Left-hander.
Well. Yep.
Mike Minor.
Yeah.
Decides to throw him some kind of a off-speed slide ball that sat in the middle, just absolutely sat there. And it was indeed a majestic home run, but you could see Minor like hitting himself in the head for throwing him that pitch. For why did I want to throw him a breaking ball? At least, and it was the cookie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is more evidence of how we're lucky to have Miguel. Meanwhile, Was it yesterday that he struck out on the pitch he missed by a foot and a half?
Yes, yes.
He missed that pitch by a foot and a half.
Yes, he did.
What the hell? It's a slider. About he's starting to swing.
Yep.
20 feet before the ball gets there, he's halfway through his swing, and it's in the other batter's box. He missed it by 18 inches.
Yeah, I believe Morneau even said something about the approach on that swing.
I've been following Justin the last few days, and he's trying hard to never going to be greeny, but he's trying hard to make the guys sound better than they are.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Friday was brutal.
Yeah. When they, after giving up 9 in the first.
I mean, you got to say something there.
You got to, somebody's got to say, you think this guy will be here tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know, something.
Or, yes.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, if they want to work at BS. And never been a more aptly named.
I thought the change might help a little bit. I think it's worse.
Yeah, but it's the perfect acronym now.
It is, yes.
BS.
And ellipses. And.
Yes. Yes. How about those Montreal Canadiens? Where'd this come from? I guess the secret is fire your coach middle of the season.
You know what this is sort of like, Pat?
It's like the Blues.
It's like the Blues a little bit. It's also a little bit, it reminds me of the 91 North Stars. You know, you sort of slag through the season. You're not that great. They got off to a good start, and then their defense was terrible. And Carey Price wasn't that good. And now they look fantastic.
Yeah, well, they, you know, they beat them.
I think they'll sweep the Jets because the Jets look dead.
They beat the Leafs 3 in a row, and the Leafs are getting crucified up there. The biggest chokers of all time. And I said, maybe they didn't choke. Maybe they played brilliant to get ahead 3-1 against this machine, the Canadiens.
I saw someone tweet that too yesterday.
The Habs, you know.
Knowledgeable hockey guy tweeted the same thing. Yeah. Let's give the Habs credit.
Yes, right. They came back, and but they fired Claude Julien, right?
Yep.
For the third time.
Yeah.
And who's coaching him now? Some former player like Berube or something?
Minor league guy who they promoted. But, they look fantastic. And Carey Price looks great.
Yeah, it's goalies, man. You can figure them out. You're smarter than I am.
You are right. Dominique Ducharme.
Who?
Dominique Ducharme.
Well, as long as he's a Frenchman, he's okay.
Conduct a press conference up there.
Yes, in French.
Fluent French.
Mm-hmm. Those we used to play the Expos and spring training games in Daytona Beach and places. I love those. I love the media, the Montreal media. I had a good friend was at the English speaking, or no, he was a French guy. He's a guy that used to he'd be at the World Series and he would be going through all the papers, typing stuff up, you know. He loved New York because there were like 5 different papers. He hated Atlanta. These papers, they got nothing. And I'd say, that's kind of plagiarism there, Serge. And he said, it hasn't been written in French. That was his excuse for it. He was the greatest, Serge. He was, and they were, Buck Rogers told me about managing up there.
Yep.
You know, he was, and Buck's a great guy, and he got along with the media great, but they'd say, Buck, we got nothing. We got nothing today. We need something. We need a story. And he'd say, well, blah, blah, blah. And he's, no, that's no good, Buck. We need something better than that. The Frenchies would all be screaming.
They get mad at them?
They get mad. No, Buck, we need something better than that.
Oh.
Yeah, you can't. That'd be good with Rocco if you could say, Buck, Rob, Rocco, we need better than that, Rocco.
You know, the good thing about Rocco is he does give us continually injury updates every single day. That's always something else about a pretty good player.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel sorry for him. I've said this. I think I said that last week, that he's stuck. You know, somebody screws up.
He's got to talk
for years. We went to that guy.
Yep.
That now he's got to talk for it. He's got to do 15, 20 minutes before the game and 15, 20 after the game. And there's nobody else really that's, you know, you get what they're giving you one other guy after the game now and one other guy before the game. So he's stuck doing the whole damn thing and answering for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And managers in general, I'm sure.
Starting Tuesday, though, we can, if we're fully vaccinated, go on the field.
I've already sent them my vaccination card with a photo. I'm ready to go on the field. So I'm sure the players
will be very happy to talk to you.
Well, who knows? I don't know where they're. You know damn well they're going to have like ropes up and stuff mm-hmm. like that. You know.
Yes.
But if you really got to go down and get a quote, you can grab a guy. That'd be good. You know, that'd be good. So you ought to be better than standing next to the dugout and hoping somebody comes over to the fence.
Which has been the case for a couple of weeks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still no dugout though, right? And still no clubhouse. So that's probably not going to happen this year.
We were
much more worried about indoors than outdoors.
In fact, because they're still doing Rocco manager Zooms pre and post as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my guess is you're not going to get back into a clubhouse until the start of 2022 at the earliest.
Yeah.
It'll be very interesting to see
unless we get a big rebound. I mean, unless the virus makes a big comeback.
Yeah, well, then you're...
I think we'll be... We won't ever be normal because you're going to get a half hour in a clubhouse instead of two, and you're not going to, we will never be normal, but I think we're going to get back in to some degree.
Hey, how about
NFL will be interesting this year?
Oh, they're going to milk this for all it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to, I think that they've
they're
talked
let
about
all the customers back in though.
Yeah. And I think what they've talked about in training camp is on the field interviews with players with, if you're vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know that you're ever getting back into locker rooms like we were
after games. Yeah.
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 Hey, how about this the John Rahm thing?
I was feeling very sorry for him, but he was a non-vaxxer.
I know.
So
he is a non-vaxxer, or
well,
he just hasn't been fully vaccinated yet?
Maybe not fully, but they do not test vaccinated players.
I saw that, yes.
So I don't think they've ever said he wasn't vaccinated.
Yes.
But the assumption is he wouldn't have been tested
correct
every day for 2 weeks. If he had been, every day for a week, if he'd been vaccinated.
So explain this to me, though.
A lot of people think he's some guy from Brunswick, Georgia or something. He's a Spaniard. He just went with the English John Rahm somebody. I don't know what his real last name is. But he's a Spaniard, and I don't know what the ethic is over there or what his explanation for it, because he's not talked about not being vaccinated, but... But he didn't stage a big protest or anything like that. I guess he'd know that he'd been with a guy that had it, and they were testing him every day.
Yep.
And he just don't know. Maybe he'd had one and didn't get the other. I don't know what it was, but supposedly. But it's incredible that.
Why would they tell him though? As he walked off the green. Why wouldn't you pull him aside out of the camp?
Well, you got to tell him before he goes into the press room and tells him how happy he is.
Sure.
He's going to win the tournament.
But wouldn't you, have steered him somewhere else to give him the bad news?
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
They did. He, literally was off the ground.
Yeah,
he
was.
Hey, sorry, man. You're out.
Yeah, you're out. You really played good, by the way. Man alive, you're blowing these guys away. One more thing. You can't play tomorrow.
That's how it came off.
Yeah.
It was like an SNL skit.
Yeah, it was.
Man, you've never played better. Too bad you're out of the tournament.
Yeah, who ended up winning it? Markawa? I'm not sure. They had two guys going on.
But Jim Nance.
I didn't even look. I was watching Lexi choke in the women's open. But you gotta feel like you stole one. There should be an asterisk on winning that one.
Oh god, yeah. There?
Yeah. I mean he was playing great. I think he's probably the best player in the world right now.
Really?
He's got a dumpy body on him. He's got that doesn't have that sleek body,
I like him even more.
I mean, he's got a big rear end on him, and that I don't think it's from eating too much. It's probably just the way his frame,
Yeah.
He's got that frame. By the way, I saw some NBA writer on Twitter had the guts to say Luka Doncic's got to get in better shape.
Really?
Yes. Because he's...
Oh, we talked about this. He's got great body.
Yeah. He's, as good as he is, this sport,
Yeah.
You can't you know, James Harden's tried it this year and's been hurt about three different times, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's going to be a huge old man.
Oh, yeah.
Luka's going to.
Yeah, and he's only 22 or something like that. He can't be looking like that at 22, right?
He looks like he enjoys chips a lot and probably a few beers.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player, but that was.
Now, did we get upset? Did Twitter lash back at the reporter?
I didn't see that. I didn't see if they did it.
Strikes
sure
me as something
Dallas,
that, you know, body shaming.
That was a great series because the first six games, the road team won.
Yes.
It wasn't until yesterday that the Clippers won a home game.
Yes.
And knocked them out.
Weird series.
Yeah, it was. But it's.
And the Clippers got blown out the first
and
game.
And
right?
By the way, my guy Tibbs, he got taken out in five by the Hawks, but the Hawks beat the 76ers on the road yesterday. So
you're justifying Tibbs's.
Well, I'm justifying it when I look at his lineup.
Yeah.
God, they're terrible.
Well, Julius Randle had a terrible play.
I know, because they double-teamed him, and they had no solution to. They basically just had two guys stand there. They have no center, you know, the Knicks.
You know who might be out there for Tibbs now? Because it sounds like he's alienated himself
he's
out of Miami.
He's coming back. He's back, baby. It's 100%.
Jimmy in New York?
Jimmy in New York.
Got to be
great. It's 100%.
How great would that be?
It's 100%. Well, you know who his starting center was in the playoffs? Taj.
Yeah.
6'9". 6'9", Taj.
Taj ain't retiring until Tibbs retires.
Yes, that's right. Until Tibbs gets retired.
Taj will be 67 years old.
Plus, Derrick Rose was playing like.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's playing like 32 minutes every game. It's great. Nothing has changed. Nothing.
Oh, hell no.
He ain't changing
but
nothing.
But if Tibbs goes to his buddy there then and gets him to trade for Butler, that would be just fantastic.
Yeah. Now, Tibbs is not calling the shots
right.
there.
No, know, he'd like have to go to the GM.
He'd have to
or
get
the,
that Lee Rose, the yeah. agent, to get. And they'd have to. I wonder what that would do to their caps. They got cap money now, but if they do they want to. Do they want to give up talent for Butler?
Yeah. The head coach does.
Sure, yeah, he does. Because that Quickly guy, who their number one draft choice, who they liked and played pretty good, by the playoffs, he was playing 7 minutes, you know.
Point what would have happened if Tibbs worked for Ted Stepien?
Back well, nothing different than what happened with Mussey. Nothing different than happened with Mussey trading... Trading two number ones for Richard Washington and Jerome Whitehead right off the bat. Needed two big men. I think it was Richard Washington. I can't, who was the one that he hated immediately? But Sheldon Acker.
I just remember Stepien was crazy and Mussey.
Sheldon Acker, you know, he's in the Hall of Baseball Writers Hall of Fame. Akron guy, greatest guy ever. And but he early at the Beacon Journal, covered the Cavs, and he covered Muss and Stepien. And he said it was the highlight of his journalistic career. They were because the Akron was a real paper, and they were traveling with the Cavs as bad as they were. Mussey trades two number ones for Whitehead and Washington. First game in Denver, I'd have to look. I think it was Washington, and he played him 3 minutes. And he tells the reporters after the game, that guy can't play for me. That guy, he's too lazy. He can't play for me. We just gave up a number one for him.
God.
A number one that's going to be top four in the league because they stink, you know. He said, he can't play for me.
Oh, God. The fact the league changed its draft rules based on the Stepien rule.
You couldn't trade your number one 2 years in a row, right?
Yeah.
They did. Well, Stepien's greatest Stepien achievement ever was, though. Remember the slow pitch softball league?
You told me about it.
The professional. Yeah. We had a franchise, the Goofies. We had the Goofies. They played over at Midway. The great Jack Blasey left the Twins to be the Goofies, you know, media guy or some promotion guy.
Yeah.
And slow pitch softball. Professional. That was not going to work. But Ted bought the league.
Mm-hmm.
Ted bought the league.
Mm-hmm.
And after he was done with the Cavs, he bought the league, and there were six franchises, and he owned five of them, and the other team won the championship. He owned five of the six, and he didn't get his trophy. I guess he was a beauty.
Oh, he must have been.
Yeah, well, Muss, he was in the wilderness for how long? long time after the Cavs.
Yeah.
That was late 70s when he got brought out there, late 70s.
I think it was late 70s.
He didn't get back until he was in the minor leagues for 10 years.
To the Wolves, right?
Yeah. Remember him, one of his great achievements is he was coaching the Reno Bighorns in the Western Basketball League. It was sort of like the minor league that was around forever. But it was, I can't remember. What
the CBA?
Eastern League or whatever it
was. Okay.
Yeah. But this was the Western Basketball League, and he basically started the Reno Bighorns, and he got Billy Martin out there because he knew Billy from here for some reason. I don't know why he knew Billy, and which isn't a surprise. And he got Billy to come out for opening night to promote the team. Billy ended up getting a fight in the bar.
Did he?
Yeah, right. And I found some stuff I wrote about it, getting a hold of Bill. Billy was dating, Billy was. It wasn't his fault. Well, never was Billy's fault.
Of course,
it was never like Billy's fault. Oh. Howard Wong was this guy that was with him. He owned the restaurant out there, and he became Billy's. Like he'd pick him up at the airport when he came to town, and all that stuff. And he was with him when he got in a fight with the marshmallow salesman. The marshmallow salesman in Bloomington at the. Howard was his guy. Howard was testifying in Billy's behalf on that one, too, when we were calling.
And then didn't some fans at Met Stadium throw marshmallows and he, tried to go in the stands?
Oh, yeah, he went crazy, and he suggested that the guy that threw it, the marshmallow, the main guy, he was wearing a French hat.
Oh, no.
And Billy commented on his sexual preference.
Yeah, Billy wouldn't last long today.
In the clubhouse, talking to reporters, basically dropped an F-bomb. Oh, worst one you can referring to a fellow who is gay. Yeah.
Billy's tenure today would not be very long.
No,
it'd be even shorter than it was back then, and yes. It was short back then.
Yeah, well, except he and George had one of the sickest relationships in the history of mankind. This reliance on another to torture one another was incredible.
And Sid loved them both.
Oh, yeah. They were both great guys, and they were both badly understood. Yes. A lot of those old Twins guys still loved Billy at the end, the Robertson brothers and all of them. They all liked Billy. But he was always goofy, but when he was a coach here and stuff, but he got crazier and crazier as, the booze got to him.
Is that what Calvin fired him?
Calvin fired him for a variety of reasons, but the guy who really worked to get him fired was Howard Fox, who was Calvin's Rasputin. He was like the guy, and he was the traveling secretary, and I don't know how Howard let Calvin hire him in the first place, because a couple of years earlier, Howard used to hand out the keys when he got to the desk, at the hotel. Howard would hand them out, and he had a pecking order of who got them first. And he and Billy were feuding about something, and he was not giving Billy his key because Billy wanted to get up to his room and then hit the streets,
Right.
And Billy punched him. In the hotel lobby.
Really?
Yeah.
And this is when he was a coach?
Yeah, probably about 67, maybe. 67, he punched him. And I don't know if we ever reported it. We might have years later, but I don't think, when he got in the bar fight with Boswell and Allison, it took about 4 or 5 days for that to make the newspapers. Because they called everybody in and reported and said, for the good of the team, we'd like you not to... that this is out there. But then when Boswell missed his start and then showed up with all these bruises on his head, they had to write it, they had to report it. But it was, nobody would, they all tried to say none of this was Billy's fault because Boswell punched Allison in the bar because Allison was drunker than Boswell. Which was an achievement, apparently, Lindale AC in Detroit. And then Billy and Allison were big buddies. So Billy was late arriving and was semi-sober. and he managed to get Boswell's coat. You know, Boswell had a sports coat on, and he kind of got it so his arms were tied.
The hockey
up,
move, yeah.
And the jersey. Dropped him out in the outside in a little alleyway outside the Lindell AC. Just because Billy was tough little SOB.
Yes.
Great fist, apparently. And he basically knocked him. I don't think he knocked him out, but he knocked him down out in the alley. Frank Willisie was Boswell's roomie. Mm-hmm. Boswell shows up in the room that night bleeding, and, you know, and I think Frank took him to the hospital or something, you know, somebody like that. And that didn't come out for 4 or 5 days.
Oh, my God.
But if you go back and read the coverage of that, it's hilarious about how poor Billy had to defend him, had to defend Bob Allison, who was 6'4".
I was going to say, Bob Allison was a big man.
240 pounds by punching out one of his star starting pitchers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was I've talked to Cott about that, about how he said they worked really hard to keep that one quiet. And he said they, you know.
Who finally wrote about it, do you remember?
I think they all did in unison. Arnold was covering for the St. Paul paper, and Tommy Breyer, and I'm not sure who was writing for the Star then, maybe Max Nichols. But they I don't know how formal the sitting on it was, but
right.
I know Sid knew about it for 4 days and didn't write it.
Well, Sid was probably trying to side with the team and tell those people not to write it.
God, how great would that be today, though?
The Meadows at Mystic Lake invites you to play their award-winning public golf course. It offers a unique, challenging, and scenic experience that both beginner and expert golfers will enjoy. The Meadows at Mystic Lake features over 7,000 yards of pristine bent grass fairways, trees and greens, surrounded by acres of wildflowers and prairie plants. This oasis, just minutes away from downtown Minneapolis, provides a magical escape to nature. It's never too early to book a tee time or shop the pro shop. Stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com. Owned and operated by the Shakopee Mdewakantinsu community.
Now you might, well, you don't want to. They might have been having personal, you know, Billy definitely had mental health issues.
You know what? Actually, if it happened today in this age right now of Zoom and stuff,
yeah.
If you got beat up in a bar fight as a pitcher, they'd skip your start.
Yeah.
And say, you, yeah, and you never see the guy.
Never see, that's right. They could be able to hide him. Yeah.
You might not find out.
No. It was, what a crow collection that was. And then Billy, when he ended up in Texas, you know, as manager down there, he got all his drinking buddies. Like, Jim Merritt liked his whiskey, and he was a pitcher here, and he ended up getting him in Texas. And Fergusi, you know, was I love Fergusi, but Fergusi liked this.
Did Fowler go there? No.
Everybody, Fowler, yeah.
He was pitching coach. That's incredible.
He was his pitching coach. But he had, like, about Duke Sims, I think he had about 8 or 9 of these guys, these crusty old veterans who loved to drink, man. Well, Art, it was as a Twins pitcher in Art that they stayed at Baltimore. And what was the old hotel in Baltimore? Downtown Baltimore had nothing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They had an old hotel. Can't remember what it was, but they found Art in the morning tied up. He had a hooker got in there, and they, you know, she called her. He got a couple of guys came in and stole his billfold and all that stuff, and they tied him up. Yeah. Left him in.
That might be the problem with being drunk in downtown Baltimore in 1968.
Well, they used to have. They used to have an area there called the Block. This was downtown. It was, you know, ladies dancing and and hardcore bars and anything went. You know, the cops would be like. On one side of the street, one end of the street, and down at the other end of the street, and anything went in the Block. And there was a few guys who got into the Block and ended up in trouble.
Yeah. You know?
But that town was frightening when I was there in 74, 5, 6, and 7, and 8. We stayed. By then, there was a Hilton, and it was okay. But you didn't venture far from the Hilton. You might go kitty corner across because there was a takeout place to go have a burger or something at 2 a.m.
That's about
but
it.
But you always went and you always traveled in groups. Even then, it was a little downtown was quiet and kind of like we're getting down.
I was going to say we're
quiet is not good.
No,
quiet is
you
not
want vibrancy.
Good. We want drunk, stumbling up and down the street. We do not want quiet. Baltimore was quiet.
Yeah, quiet.
At night.
Quiet can be a big problem.
I remember you sitting over there. What do you think, guys? I'm really hungry. I'm 2/3 hammered here. I could use a burger. Are we going to walk over there tonight or not? Are we going to?
When you're making smart decisions drunk, you're scared.
That's right. That's true. Well, they usually the food usually won.
No, but I'm saying even having to discuss it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the best thing to do was to look broke, and we pretty much did. So a bunch of guys stumbling around.
All right, sir.
All right, we ended up, I suppose we should have captured some local topics here, but I don't know.
We got the twins. We got plenty of twins.
Anything else going on? What are our Vikings doing now?
Is it minicamp next week?
But OTAs that were pretty well attended, huh?
Yes, except for Danielle Hunter, yes.
They had a lot of bonus.
Yes.
A lot of guys
they get their
had
bonus
to show
if they
up
go.
To get their money.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why, that's why Anthony Barr was there.
Yes,
right?
But the mandatory 3 days is next week, which is when we'll find out if Danielle, because if he doesn't show, I think he forfeits about $95,000.
Yeah, he won't show. And the guy in Green Bay ain't going to show either.
Oh, no.
No, why don't they just fess up? He's stubborn. He ain't gonna. I read something about him. He's never. Silverstein, I think, said when he has a grudge,
yes,
it never leaves.
Yeah, he makes Favre look like
it's a grudge for life.
Yes,
it's a.
I don't think he's playing it, Pat.
There's nothing you can do to change his mind. It's a grudge. Well, he didn't talk to his family because of some grudge.
But I mean, I think he just won't show up for training camp either.
They're
going to be stubborn and try not to trade him and think that he'll come back to him, and I don't think
think you want him in that mood because he can come back, start two games, get hit, and say he's hurt.
Yep.
Then what are you going to do?
Yep.
Just you drafted this kid.
I think they know they might have made a big mistake.
They got to look. They got to try, right?
Well, they got Blaine Gabbert, too.
Well, they do. Yeah, Blaine can,
I don't know what Blaine can do, but they got Blaine
can hand off. So, anyway, Vikings cinched to win the division.
Now they're screwed.
No, who's going to, the Bears suck.
Vikings at Philadelphia.
The Bears are terrible.
A done deal. Wild in game 7 against the Golden Knights.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the regular season. It's the end of the season. You got to worry about Zim, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, the whole Golden Knight, they can't lose to the Golden Knights was just a parody on the fact that they were 3-0 in coming in game 7s, right? It was just fun.
I read that column. You were damn serious.
No. that one was, that was, now that they're going to kick the Eagles' ass.
Yep, that was,
I told Mel Kiper that on ESPN.
Yes, you did.
So that's sometimes you're
forever caught on.
Yes, yeah, that one's never going to get out of that one. So,
oh man.
All righty. See you. If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.